Finally this morning, Katrina Strickland joins me. Katrina is the arts editor at the Australian Financial Review. Once every few weeks, as you'll know, she drops in to bring us some of the best events and exhibitions around the country. Welcome to Saturday Extra again, Katrina.
Thanks, Joe.
Good to see you. Now, there's a new retrospective at the National Gallery of Australia, and it's the Fred Williams Retro, and it's the first one, I believe, in 25 years.
That's right, and a lot has changed with the art world and the appreciation of Fred Williams in the meantime. That last show in 1987 was only 5 years after Williams died. He died of lung cancer in 1982, aged only 55. So it was a great celebration of his life and achievements. He'd been on the inaugural acquisitions committee and governing council of the National Gallery, which opened in 1982, the same year that he died. So that retrospective featured a mammoth 417 works, was curated by James Mollison, a great family friend and the inaugural director of the National Gallery. 30 years on, we're looking just at painting. Curator Deborah Hart decided that she really wanted to look at why Williams was considered such a master of paint. So this is a much smaller show. It's not small, but compared with 417 works, it's got 85 oil paintings and 45 gouaches, which is that fast drying medium that Williams used when he went outdoors painting. It's a stunning show. If they say if you judge an artist by their best works, you'd have to say this really does put Williams in the category of one of our, not just our best landscape painters, but arguably one of our best painters.
I was going to ask you what you thought, whether it did actually stand the test of time.
It does. Yeah. It's quite a luminous show, and there's some surprises in there. It begins in the 1950s when Williams was studying in London, and he was still figurative, which probably a lot of people wouldn't know. You know, he's got paintings of men carrying coal and a man with a bowler hat on the street of London and, you know, people in music halls. And then it goes through to those early breakthrough works of the 60s of the Yu Yangs and the Upway landscapes, and then those very beautiful minimalist works. But then the end, which I think will surprise some people, in the 70s, his palette changed from those tonal browns to introduce colour, and he did water, beautiful water, blue, green pictures. And then, of course, at the end, the Pilbara series with the great red ochre that he did in just the last few years before his death.
Interesting. It'd be interesting to see the figurative pieces, I must say.
Yes, and there's also portraits in there that he did during his lifetime. He did portraits of family friends like the artist John Brack, the author Murray Bale, his wife Lynn Williams, his children. So it'll give people a very good sense of the breadth of what Williams did. Of course, we know him as a landscape painter. That is what he mostly did, but there are these other elements there as well.
Okay. Do you think it'll appeal to younger art goers, perhaps?
I think it will. The gallery, part of what made them put it on was that there's a whole new generation that hasn't seen Williams. So, an Australian art in public galleries is getting a lot bigger attendances than it perhaps did a decade or so ago. You know, Ron Muick got massive attendances, the Australian sculptor at Queensland and Melbourne in the last few years. John Brack got great attendances in Melbourne. So I think this show will do really well. It's in Canberra until November 6th, and then next year it travels to the National Gallery of Victoria in Melbourne and the Art Gallery of South Australia in Adelaide. So, you know, it's on for a good year, and I think it will be interesting to see the figures that I think people are more interested in the art of our time, you know, the general mainstream audience, not just the art audience.
Okay. All right. Now, to something a little bit smaller, an exhibition of wedding dresses.
Yes.
Bendigo Art Gallery.
This is very interesting and comes hot on the heels, of course, of the Kate Middleton wedding to Prince William and all the discussion about, you know, whether Pippa Middleton, the bridesmaid, outshone her in her dress. Bendigo's doing great things in recent years under director Karen Quinlan. It had a show from the Victoria and Albert Museum in 2009 called The Age of Couture. That did so well, it got something like 75,000 people, that the V&A has entrusted Bendigo with this as its first and only Australian venue for this wedding dress show. It looks at 200 years of the white wedding dress. It's about, I guess, social mores as much as it is fashion. It talks about the fact that, you know, white only really came in as a wedding colour after the 1840 wedding of Queen Victoria to Prince Albert, and that until the 20th century, white was more about prestige than chastity, you know, and you'd have to say now it's not so much about chastity. It features 43 dresses from the V&A, augmented by about 25 from Australia. it's got, you know, I would have liked to have seen the princess die dressed there, but it's got some other interesting ones. But yeah, I think this should do well. Fashion in art galleries these days has become much more accepted.
I was going to ask you about that. It's interesting how it's made, how it's entered the art gallery.
It has, and there was a lot of debate in, you know, earlier times about whether it had a legitimate place there. But I think now, you know, galleries like it because it does bring in a whole different audience. And, you know, look at the Valentino show in Queensland last year. That did enormously good numbers. So I think that'll be a good coup for Bendigo as a city as well as the gallery itself.
Fabulous. And now to some dance, Bangarra Dance Theatre, travelling around the country?
Yes, this is their new program called Belong. It's been in Sydney and Brisbane. It's in Perth this weekend and it goes to Canberra, Wollongong and Melbourne next month. It's two pieces, one by Stephen Page, who's been artistic director for 20 years, and another by one of the dancers, Elma Chris. It's a very interesting piece. Page has always been fairly political. This is perhaps not his most political, but he still has those elements in there, looking at, you know, how black is black enough. He's got some dancers with numbers on their backs, you know, 1/8, 1/16, and he's got a scene where the dancers are pretending to pose for a school photo and they're putting Vegemite on their faces. So it's typical Page, I guess, work.
So it's in Perth this weekend, having played in Brisbane and Sydney. It'll go to Canberra, Wollongong and Melbourne in September.
That's right.
And just finally, South Australia, a quick one about that, an exhibition of contemporary British art at the Art Gallery of South Australia.
And this is part of the push by its director, Nick Mitsovich, towards having more contemporary work. This is from the Saatchi Gallery in London, which was set up by Charles Saatchi, the ad man turned kingmaker, I guess, if you like, of artists. He bought up big those young British artists in the 90s and really made their careers, Tracy Emin, Damien Hirst, that kind of people. This is the next generation of artists after that, so they're not household names, but it features 123 works by 40 artists. It does feature Tracy Emin's My Bed.
I was going to ask you if My Bed was going to be there.
My Bed is there, the work which
That'll
is literally her bed.
That'll be a real draw card, won't it?
Yes.
Okay, look, that's terrific, Katrina, and that's on at the Art Gallery of South Australia. And how long's that on for?
That runs until October 23, and that is the only Australian venue.
Okay, all right. So if you're in Adelaide, pop in. Thank you, Katrina Strickland. We'll see you in a few weeks' time for your regular arts round. Good on you, Katrina Strickland. Very much looking forward to that. And she's the arts editor at the Australian Financial Review.